Kiddos can take off. Remember probably a month ago I mentioned about a trip to Israel next June. So the deadline's coming up in November. So if you did have an interest in that, let Jay Ross know. Okay, Colossians 1:15. Okay, Colossians 1:15. If you see the context, he's talking about Jesus Christ, verse 13, his dear son. And verse 15, it says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. For he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Okay, the fullness he's talking about in verse 19 is over in chapter 2, verse 9. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And then verse 20, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." Okay, let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand these ideas. Help us to at least consider them. Help us to know what to do and to be more than conquerors through him who has loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in verse 15 and 16, he talks about visible and invisible. So it's obviously invisible from the physical eye. Okay, for example, there's two parts to the believer, basically, I guess you could say, the old man and the new man. And you're seeing, physical body here, so that's the visible part. But the real me is the invisible part, that's the soul. Okay, that's what the Bible calls a spiritual body, where this is called the natural body. Okay, and so there's like a parallel universe right beside us, and there's like a thin veil, a spiritual veil. And people in the spirit world can see into the physical world, but we often can't see into the spirit world. On occasion, God will allow that. Okay, but generally speaking, it's like a person, I'm sure some of you heard it, I know I've heard it, that some people have had heart surgery, and their soul left their body, and they hovered over the room and watched the surgery and heard the doctor and heard the nurses and asked them afterwards. They recovered, their soul went back in their body, and they asked them why they said such and such things, and of course, kind of freaked out the doctor. Okay, but there is, if we believe the Bible by faith, there's a spiritual world, okay, that's paralleled with us. Okay, so in this context, now in the dark side, in the devil's side, they understand this, and they will do certain things to appease their spirit world. There's a saying in the dark side, "As above, so below," and that thing comes from a being called idea from the god of Hermes. It's a Greek mythology, but there is a truth there, okay, where they're making connection with the spirit soul. In the old days, in the Egyptian days, the priests were called pons, P-O-N, and that was like bridging the gap between the spirit world and fleshly world, and that's where the Pope gets the idea of a pontiff. Okay, and the Catholic Church owns a very large telescope, one of the largest, if not the largest. They entitle it Lucifer. And they're trying to talk with the spirits. And about 5-6 years ago, the United Nations actually delegated some woman to be the chief spokesperson, whatever, okay, to talk to these beings I'm sure, you know, she's got probably got a hotline, so if you happen to have something show up, give her a call, and then she'll go talk to him. Okay, now, this is out there. Okay, this is out there, and it's coming from the Bible, but the devil is going to pervert it, and the unclean crowd, the devil's crowd, they're going to be infatuated with it. Of course, Halloween's coming up, big satanic holiday. And I hope as a Christian you really don't buy into that stuff. You know, put your jack-o'-lantern out there where a jack-o'-lantern was, they'd take human fat, make a candle, put it in front of somebody's house, and if the person didn't give them a virgin where they could sacrifice, then they'd kill them in the house. That's in the Druid days. Okay, and that's the nature of the Halloween, Hallowed Eve, All Saints Eve, November 1st, is the perverted aspect or the satanic aspect. And it's funny to me that Christians partake in the devil's holiday, but Satanists won't partake in Christians' days. Why are we so foolish? Okay, but even at that, I want to give you some ideas this morning about the invisible world. It's intriguing and hopefully something to consider, but considering it from the eyes of the Lord. Okay, have you ever come across an individual you never met in your life? As a believer, you never met this person, and this person has an automatic disdain for you. It's automatic. You can just sense it right there. Man, they hate your guts. Okay, what that is that's their spirits, unclean spirits, recognizing a spirit of God, and that's a draw against them. They hate that idea, and often they never met you before, and what is the idea of that is that their spirit recognizes this spirit, and it's shunning this spirit, and they don't want to be around it. Okay, in the alternative health, they talk about having an aura about a person, and there's something to that. But we need to recognize some of these things from the Bible's perspective. Yeah, but the thing is people don't even consider it. Christians don't consider these things. Okay, they don't understand that these spirits can influence us. They can cause us to be blinded about certain things, be passive. They can influence people. They can do things. And as above, so below. The above is not controlling, but influencing the below. Now that goes in the dark side, and it goes on the spirit side, or on God's side also. So I'm going to give you some thoughts this morning about the invisible world. Not that I'm going to wear garlic or, you know, have a silver bullet in my pocket, you know, in case Dracula shows up. You know, I'm not going to, you know, I don't like garlic anyway, but even though it's a good, you know, against sicknesses. But that keeps the wards away, you know, vampires, witches, people, animals, anybody, anything. It just stinks, makes it a hot stink. But it, you know, it's good for the body. Okay, not that a person has to worry about those things, but a person does have to recognize it and hopefully be alert to it. Okay, and so if you would, I want to just read some passages about the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 1. Now, why did he experience some of these things, but yet Christians are, you know, blind to it? Okay, Mark chapter 1, just read some things. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you total up the chapters, you've got 89 chapters, so if you read one a day, you're going to go through the Gospels about every 3 months. Okay, and in that case, then you're kind of walking with Jesus. And you get to see some of the things. Now, the Bible just picks certain highlights out of the Lord's life and writes it down for us, has written it down. If God wrote everything about the Lord Jesus, and I would say in eternity we'll get to read some of those things, because it says even the world could not contain the books, but the universe can. I think it'd be fascinating to see everything that the Lord did. I mean, you talk about putting a lot of things in a short time span, the Lord Jesus Christ can do it. Okay, but if you would, Mark chapter 1, verse 23, we'll just kind of run through some of these things and read. You know, I know the typical fundamentalists, they read about three verses, everybody closes the Bible and he tells stories. So, I kind of like the idea of reading the Bible. I think the Bible's words more important than my words. Okay, but verse 23, it says, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Now, the first thing right off the bat is people tend to think, you mean he's in the Jewish synagogue? He's in a place where they're going to hear the word of God preached? I thought the unclean spirit would be in the bar or in the tavern or at the dance or in the pool hall or all these other places. No, he's in the church. Here is the synagogue specifically. Okay, but notice the wording. It says, an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. So this unclean spirit's bipolar, tripolar, quadruple polar. And a lot of those things that people talk about and they take medication for, that makes them, you know, six times polar. It's like the two schizos running in an elevator together, and one said to the other one, I don't feel like myself. And he said, that makes four of us. And so, I mean, you get into the bipolar thing. Some of that's mental, some of it's chemical, but a lot of it's spiritual. Okay, and the younger generation is picking up on these things. We had some young kids down, and we picked them up on a bus years ago. This has probably been 5-6 years ago. Well, they actually talked to the male figure inside the female. And if you really want to reason with it, you got to talk to, I forget the names, one was Tabitha, and one was this, and one was this, I can't remember which. And I just said, I ain't talking to so-and-so, I'm talking to her. Okay, but hey, they had it figured out. And the thing is, we just need to be alert to these things. So I said, let us alone, what have we to do with thee? Thou, Jesus of Nazareth, and thou come to destroy us. I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. They know who God is. They know Jesus Christ is holy. They know he's God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him, and they were all amazed. Now, these things freak people out. Okay, now this is just a simple little thing, an unclean spirit. You know, got two or three, but one unclean spirit could have many devils. And that was enough to freak people out. Wait till they get to Mark chapter 5. And really get into this as far as the goofiness. And often people will see that. They'll stumble across this, and then they'll pick themselves up and walk on as if nothing ever happened. Because they want to stay blind to it. Okay, that's verse 25, verse 26. An unclean spirit. Hello, Pizza Hut. And it says, and when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him, and they were all amazed. Insomuch that they question among themselves, saying, what is this thing? What new doctrine is this? And with authority commandeth he the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. That's the authority of Jesus Christ. Okay, don't have to have some special little, chain, some little crucifix. A crucifix, a magnet to draw more unclean spirits. Okay, Jesus is off the cross. I don't know why they want to put him back on there. Of course, I know why. Okay, and then verse 20, and immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. So obviously this is strange. Okay, then you have just a normal sickness, a fever. Simon Peter's wife had a fever, so she didn't go to Walgreens, got a flu shot that year. You know, ha-ha, that's how you get the flu. I've had two flu shots, and I got the flu from the shot. No more flu shots for me. No more flu. So I got that figured out. Okay, and verse 32, and even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. Notice they kind of go together there. Not automatically, all the time, because Simon Peter's mother-in-law had a fever, but there's no devils mentioned. So sometimes we need to consider some of these things. And again, I'm just saying consider the thought. Okay, then verse 33, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. So he didn't want their advertisement. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that was pretty common with him, okay, and then he knew what to do with it. Now he didn't hang up a shingle and then get everybody to come to him about that issue. He just handled it when it crossed his path. As parents, Do we know how to handle those things if this bothers our children? When they have horrible dreams at night? Okay, when things are going on in their life? Okay, do we know how to handle these things? We better figure it out. Okay, better find out what the Bible says. Now, in the next in chapter 3, we have another experience. Now, this was pretty common in the life of Jesus. Mark chapter 3, verse 7. Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea. Idumea, that's way down Saudi Arabia, northern part of Saudi Arabia, modern-day Jordan. And from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, and a great multitude. And when they had heard of what great things he did, he came unto them. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, and as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. They know who he is. They know he's God. Right in his presence. I'm so holy, I can't have this happen to me. Oh, you're holier than the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do we think we are immune to these things? I don't know. But it's obviously a deception of Satan. Mark chapter 3, verse 22 to 30. The Pharisees of the day, these were literal, some of them were literal, actual children of Satan. Meaning he was their father, literally. And some of them were flesh and blood people. And they accused Jesus Christ of being Beelzebub or the devil. Why? Because you're hiding the truth from people. That's chapter 3. Chapter 5 is the one that really freaks people out. Okay, chapter 5 is, of course, we're living in a day and age where this is becoming more common. And if we don't recognize the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. We have nothing to fear. Chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Notice they are searching him out. Okay, and why is that? It's because a part of this individual wants to give this up, but a part of them can't. They're bound in it. They're being tormented. Okay, that's where it's gotten way down the line. Now, man, when you wait this far, man, it's really out there. And it's better to, take care of it when it's much smaller issues. But this guy's out there, verse 3. He said, who had his dwelling among the tombs. So he's infatuated with dead things. He got little skulls, cobwebs, jack-o'-lantern, skeletons. He's infatuated with dead things. That's what the devil is infatuated with. And people that are infatuated with these things are becoming infested. Jesus Christ said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. The Lord is interested in life. Satan is interested in to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his intent. Okay? And now he's not going to come out and say, I'm going to kill you. No, he's going to come out and say, I'm going to give you some power. And then once you're done with the power, then he kills you. Through some Masonic sacrifice. When he's done with an individual, if this individual wants to give it up. Okay, and that's getting really into the dark side. But still, verse 4, we are not to be ignorant of these things. In verse 3, he said, who has dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because they had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. So couldn't bind him, couldn't tame him. He was absolutely passive towards the things of God. Couldn't scare him, couldn't love him. There's no response. He's like a zombie. Okay, and this is the idea behind this zombie craze is showing, hey, man, we're closer to coming to Christ. Praise the Lord. And all these things coming out. Okay, verse 5, and always night and day was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. So he's got marks all over his body, you know, probably got tattoos all over the place, you know, and all this stuff on his face. And he probably sits against a wall right next to a wall and he bangs his head on a wall and keeps banging his head on the wall. Head bangers, they're called. Okay, that's somebody that's really got issues with spirits. Those are outflowing reactions to somebody that's got something going on inside. Verse 6, and when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. They are spiritual people. Cry with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. So he's got about 2,000 devils in this individual. So this is really absurd behavior. It's really out there, and this really freaks people out. But it's there. Okay, and the Bible will use these certain, and sometimes we use these things subconsciously to describe a truth of the Bible. Sometimes we'll say he's a bird brain, or he's got bats in the belfry, or he's gone cuckoo, and things like that, or he's infested with bug. He's been bugged. Okay, and those are common sayings that people say that are truths of the Bible. But Jesus Christ is stronger. Okay, but yet that means we need to hit the light switch in order to get the power of Jesus Christ flowing through us. Now, like I said, if you keep reading it down through, you'll see what happened in this story. It's an amazing thing, but it's just commonplace with Jesus. Why? Because he sees both worlds, spirit and physical, where we are limited most of the time to the physical world. On occasion, God might enlighten you, show you some things in the spirit world. He's never done it to me, never showed me anything in the spirit world. I recognize often a physical reaction watching people's eyes. If you observe their eyes, then often you can see a spirit manifest itself through their eyes. For example, there's a fella years ago, he's in Jasper County Jail. He was trying to do penance for his sins. And so he felt that he should fast for a long, extended period of time. He ended up fasting for 21 days. And at the same time, I was doing some fasting and studying that idea. And I recognized that if you do fast, you know, drink water, you definitely got to have water. You can't do it without water. Okay, but you drink water and the body is going to flush toxins out very quickly. And the tongue will start turning white about day 3. Day 4, it'll be pretty much, you gross white. And then if a person wants to take it all the way to the end of cleansing, then the tongue will eventually turn pink. I never got that far. Never really wanted to. Okay, but that's what I've been studying. And so I brought some things up to this gentleman, and we struck up a friendship. And I knew he was not saved. And so I'd witnessed to him many times. He got asking Bible questions. And I probably worked with him probably a good 4, 5, 6 months. And there was one time I went in there, and I was, you know, do the usual thing. But there was something, I noticed his eyes where they had glassed over. And it was like talking to a brick wall. And what happened is some spirit manifested itself through his eyes. And so it was a very short conversation because I pretty much knew, hey, we're not going anywhere with this. And a person says, why don't you cast the unclean spirit out? Yeah, but he's a lost man. If I cast the unclean spirit out, and if he don't get saved, then about 7 more is going to come back on it. It's going to make it worse for him. And so the thing is, a person has to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. And the next week when I came back in, it didn't manifest itself. And I never saw it manifest itself again through him after that time. Okay, but the idea is that a person can begin to recognize some of these things. Now, on occasion, the Lord will point it out, but most people are blind to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says that the god of this world has blinded their minds. Okay, so they're blind to it. Now, in Numbers chapter 21, Balaam, who turned out to be a bad guy, Balaam is the one that was riding the Democratic mascot, and the Democrat mascot saw the spirit world, and he didn't see it. And then God opened his eyes and saw it. He saw an angel standing there with a sword. Okay, and then later on in the Bible, there's a fellow named Elisha. He was the follower of Elijah when Elijah died, not died, when he was translated into heaven. Elisha had several miracles, but there was a time where a bunch of a big army was around Elisha, and he wasn't afraid, and his servant was afraid, and he said, "Lord, please open his eyes, let him see what I see." And when he opened his eyes, he saw a spiritual army all around. Okay, and that was there the whole time. It's just that we're blind to it. Okay, and the Lord doesn't want us to see, most of the time he doesn't want us to see some of these things. And the reason why is we'll be freaked out. Okay, but the idea is we need to at least first off consider the unclean spirits and their influence on people. The second thing is all of us need to consider the possible source of ideas or imaginations that come into our head. Okay, now, again, as I said, most people think they're immune to it, and especially Christians think they're immune to it. And that's utter nonsense. People will accept the belief in heaven, but they don't want to accept the belief in hell. They'll accept the belief in God, but they don't want to accept the belief in Satan. You mean to tell me there's a being that's so evil, so dark? Yeah, that's right. Okay, and that being knows the Bible better than anybody. And that being is a perfect, if you can say it, a perfect counterfeit of Jesus Christ, which is like an oxymoron, but he is a perfect counterfeit of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was on earth, man called him Beelzebub. When the Satan shows up in the Antichrist, man is going to call him Christ. They're already doing it. Okay, Lord Maitreya is a guy that they call the Christ. Benjamin Krim calls him the Christ. Okay, and the world is getting geared up for these things. And God is getting geared up for it. Praise the Lord for that. You know, Israel is already now training young men to be priests for the third Jewish temple. Praise the Lord, keep it up. I mean, I'm excited about those things. Okay, but still, we need to consider the source of these ideas. For example, words are floating through the air right now, words, and they have wings to them. And the wings of these words are spirits, and they influence the words. And the words can come into our minds, you know, radio stations, television stations, all this cell phone conversation, it's going through the air. And have you ever been with somebody where you said something and they said, "You know, I was just thinking about that." And the reason why is these words are floating through the air and they come into our mind. And God can put these thoughts into our mind, and Satan can put these thoughts into our mind. It doesn't matter if you're saved or lost. That is a non-issue. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked the apostles, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're Elijah, some say you're this, some say you're that." And then he said, "Who do you say that I am?" Well, Peter said, "You're the Christ." And then Jesus said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you." So who revealed that to him? God did. So in essence, right on that spot, the Apostle Peter spoke by the inspiration of God. And a person would say, "Well, of course, he's by Jesus Christ." Yeah, but the same man in the same situation, 5 or 10 minutes later, spoke by the inspiration of Satan. Same man. And then Jesus, after that, he told the guys, he said, "I'm going to go into Jerusalem, suffer many things." And Peter said, "No, be it far from thee. No, it's not going to happen. No, no, no." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Pete, get thee behind me, Satan." Same man. Same love for Jesus Christ. Same one who followed Jesus Christ and didn't recognize that a thought came into his mind, thought it was a, "Wow, that's an interesting thought. I ain't going to let that happen." And that thought, the root of that thought came from Satan. And so we need to recognize that. Satan put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, John 13:2, the idea of betraying Jesus Christ. Now, God does this, Satan does this, they have this capability. God can read your mind, Satan can't read your mind. Not that I know of. Okay, but they both can put thoughts in our mind. And so what are we obligated to do by the Bible? The Bible says we are to cast down vain imaginations, every high thing resolve itself against God. You ever hear of somebody that got convicted of a, say, serial killer or a kid killing somebody, and they said, these voices told me. Yeah, that's right, they did. Okay, or some woman's taking this medication, maybe, and having the emotional aspect postpartum, but yet medication really doesn't help because it throws in the idea of the spiritual. These voices told me to kill my child. Yeah, that's right, those voices did. Some voices did. What should have they done? Cast down vain imaginations. And every high thing exalt itself against God. Okay, why? Because these goofy thoughts come through all our minds. How many of you had this goofy thought? Driving down the road, see a person on the side of the road. How many points? Come, 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 come. Okay? Have you ever had that? I mean, sometimes we'll say that 10 points for this one, 20 points for that one. Okay? Goofy thought, goofing around. But yet we have these thoughts. I mean, you've been on your knees praying. Or some of those wicked thoughts come in your mind. I'm praying, and why am I thinking about that? It's because somebody's trying to stop us from praying. What do you do? Lord, give me a bloodbath right now. Cleanse my mind with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. A man just blows that out of smithereens, and you can get back to praying. Okay? That's spiritual warfare. That's recognizing that none of us are immune to these things. Okay, so just the idea this morning is just consider the possible source of these ideas or imaginations. As parents, we need to protect our children. And some of the toys and dolls and some of the things in... you go into the toy store today and see some of these kids, these things these kids are playing with. Wow. I mean, what are they doing? They're dressing up devils and putting them in front of kids. And these kids are playing with these things. And eventually they start figuring these things out, and then they have the power. Okay? And the thing is, I mean, you go in a toy store and you get freaked out by some of the things these kids are playing with. Why? Because somebody's influencing this young generation. And the older generation who thinks, oh, it's just imaginations, it's just entertainment. Yeah, wait till they whip out the stuff and start demonstrating what they really know what to do. We need to consider these things. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says this, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay, wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our fighting between flesh and blood, male and female, okay, if we stop the fighting and consider the source. The source is somebody who caused discord. Okay, how about stop the fighting, both get on your knees and start praying. And both of you gang up on the source. I think you'll see a lot more better things happen when you're on the same team with Jesus Christ. Start praying in that fashion. Well, he said, and she said, and he said, and he said. Yeah, but who told him to say it? Or who led him to say it? Go toward the source. And this wrestling with these unclean spirits, a person needs to recognize that. And so what do? We have the power to bind them in prayer. Luke chapter 11, verse 20. Bind them in prayer. Okay, that's a capability God has given. Luke 11, verse 20, assuming a person is born again, they're saved in Jesus Christ. And if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. When a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all the armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, He walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. That's doing it without Jesus Christ. Okay, so the prayer of binding the unclean spirits, and then we need a prayer to open our eyes to discern the deception. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. And then he says, and God may deliver us from unreasonable and wicked men. The free course is an admiralty term where if you get the wind favorably blowing you to the direction of your destination, and that's an analogy of the Spirit of God blowing upon the Word of God, enlightening our minds so that we can see the deception. Okay, and the truth is what exposes the deception. So we have the prayer, which is sort of kind of a defensive weapon, but yet it is also an offensive weapon, like the Air Force going in before the ground troops come in. But the Word of God is our offensive weapon, where we can use that against the spirits. They don't like being around the Word of God. Okay, if you would, look at one more place, Mark chapter 9. Here's an extreme situation. But it shows the power of Jesus Christ. And the thing is this is everywhere you and I go, it's all around us, it's just that we need to have our spiritual armor on. Mark chapter 9, verse 14, all the way down to 29 is the whole passage. Okay, it's about a dad and his son. His son is infested. His son has a deaf and dumb spirit. Okay, and the kid had played Pokemon. He had read all of Harry Potter's books. He read the Twilight series. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, the Twilight series. They're Christians. Oh, we're so happy for the Twilight series and how that's been so helpful in the church. Okay, and so he's read that. He's played D&D. This kid, he probably got, you know, in a locker room, turned the lights off and played the Ouija and all this stuff. And so this kid got infested. And, oh, Dad thought it was cute. Isn't that cute stuff to see what he did? Oh, you know, I'm glad he reads Twilight. Oh, she's a virgin. I mean, though she's married a vampire, but she's a virgin when she married a vampire. Oh, I think that's so wonderful. Isn't that so cute? Yeah, it sure is. I mean, that's how foolish people are nowadays. Christians. You know, all that stuff. Okay, in verse 20, here's what's happened in this little boy. When they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, wowed, foaming. That's weird. And he asked his father, Jesus, and he asked his father, how long ago is this came upon him? And he said, of a child. There he is. Devil don't play fair. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. That's the purpose of Satan, to kill, steal, and destroy. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Notice the dad. He's honest. If you can do anything. You see, he's taking his kid to a psychiatrist, to a psychologist. He's taken to a doctor. He's got him on medication. Oh, he's got DDHD and ADHD, and he don't know what he's got. And so he's got all this kid, and nothing's helping the kid. And dad has lost hope. He's lost hope. And you can't blame him. Why? Because he hasn't gone to the right source. But now he has. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. He said, I've heard this before. And that's an honest response. And when Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him. So he's trying to beat it to the punch so everybody don't see this, because he knows people are going to get freaked out. And so he says, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more in him. The spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. You know Satan is fast against Christians? They do. Yeah, they do. They pray against us. But do we pray against them? We ought to. Prayer and fasting. Now, the cross reference takes us to Matthew 17, and Jesus said, because of your unbelief first, and then second, prayer and fasting. A belief is like hitting a light switch. Prayer and fasting is like changing it from 15 amp to 20 amp to 30 amp to 50 amp. Just getting more power in there. Prayer and fasting. But you got to hit the light switch. And the light switch is belief. Belief in Jesus Christ. The prayer and fasting aids in the power there. And of course, this is an extreme case. Okay? In most cases, it's just a matter of hitting the light switch. But again, this is getting more prevalent because as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming Son of Man. And so, on one side of us, we can say, man, this is crazy, this is kind of goofy, and this scares me. Or the other side can say, Jesus Christ has more power than all of these. These things fear Jesus Christ. And, hey, the Lord's coming back. It's just that we want to make sure that we're faithful to the end and more than conquerors. And we can recognize that our enemy is not the one sitting next to you. It's not a family member. It's not somebody in the church that you like or dislike. Flesh and blood, that's not the enemy. The enemy is the spirits that's dividing people. And if we get together and pray against that, we discover, hey, you're not as bad as I thought you was. You might need a shower once in a while, but you aren't that bad. But the idea is that we need to point our prayers to the right direction. And if we don't, then we'll become a victim of this and not become an overcomer. The Lord wants us to be overcomers. And the first step of overcoming is faith in Jesus Christ, where we've overcome the world. And then we can overcome in many other areas of life that God wants us to. Okay, so let's go and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us at least to recognize the spirit world, help us to be, like Paul said, more than conquerors to them that loved us. And help us not to exaggerate the spirit world or not to be infatuated with it. Help us to be infatuated with Jesus Christ. Help us to love him. And Lord, I do pray and ask that if by chance somebody is not born again, they're not saved, that they need to recognize first off and foremost, they need faith in Jesus Christ. But then next after that, they also need to put on a spiritual armor, cast down vain imaginations, at least consider the source of words, thoughts that come through our minds so we might recognize the real source. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you've never trusted Christ to be your Savior, that's step one. And then if you're saved, recognize that you're not immune to these spirits' influence. And you and I need to be vigilant soldiers. And we need to at least recognize the power that's found in Jesus Christ. The piano will play, the altar's open if you need it. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, make sure he's your Savior. And as parents, grandparents, we need, the grandchildren need our prayers. Desperately, they need our prayers in this age. As parents, they need your guidance and protection. Lord, I do pray you'd help us consider the spirit world, help us to stand against it. As Paul said three times, stand, stand, stand. And I pray that you'd help us to pray against it, wrestle against it, and to take that sword of the Spirit and overcome it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.